night, holy night. Amen. All right, we have your Bibles tonight. Let's run to the Gospel of Luke, chapter number 1. The Gospel of Luke, chapter number 1. And we'll see what the Lord has in store for us tonight. That's the Gospel of Luke, chapter number 1. And once you get there, we'll all stand. We'll go to verse 30 and read that. And we'll pray and ask God for his help tonight. I just want to share just a few thoughts, basically just kind of reading through this, but I just think it's a good thing to read about the story, amen, of how it began, so to speak. But look at the Bible says in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, and we'll drop down to verse number 30, verse number 30. The Bible says in verse 30, and the angel said to her, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus." I want to talk tonight, this little thought, the day Mary found out God wanted to use her. The day that Mary found out God wanted to use her. Father, I pray today for your help, for your guidance, your direction. I pray, God, for a fresh touch, a fresh anointing. I pray, God, you guide my speech and my actions. I pray, Master God, you take the word of God, let it become alive to us. Let it enrich our soul, enrich our spirit, build our character, motivate our faith, will protect us from the enemy as a weapon, as a sword of the spirit to fight back against the attacks the enemy may throw in our direction. I pray, God, that our worship together tonight, our meeting together tonight, will not be in vain, but I pray and ask God that great dividends will take place as a result of us meeting here tonight. And for that, Father, we'll praise you. I will bless those who are watching the services and feed their hungry souls. And for that, God, will shout hallelujah. God, we thank you for your son, Jesus, and all that you've done, all that you are doing, and all that you're about to do. And for that, God, we shout hallelujah. We love you. And that's it for now. If I've left anything out, please, sir, meet that great need as well. For it's in your son's name we pray. Not a weak Jesus, but mighty Jesus. Amen. Amen. Maybe you see the day Mary found out God wanted to use her. Many times you read the scriptures, when a person is approached by God in some fashion, and they hear that God wants to use them, a lot of times you find some people hiding, some folks take off running, some people say, "Are you sure?" But nonetheless, it's amazing that God wants to use not just some of us, but watch this, he wants to use all of us. God has a plan and a purpose for every single person who has been born again and blood-bought and placed into the family of God. When you begin to read over the epistles, it talks about how that God has a certain position or a certain calling upon each of our lives. And what we see here, my dear friends, just a few moments, is how Mary found out that God wanted to use her and how she responded. Outline is just something I've seen, and I love the way it was laid out, and I just want to share with you tonight. The first thing we want to see, my friends, is the messenger. When God, watch this, when God wants to get to us and speak to us, he always sends a messenger. Now, that messenger could be through the word of God. That messenger could come through even a song that you've heard sung. But some type of way, God will send a messenger to get the message to us. The first thing we see is the messenger that God sent to Mary. Verse number 26. The Bible says, in the sixth month, the Bible says, the angel Gabriel, the Bible says, was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth. The Bible says, to a virgin, a spouse to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. The first thing we see, my friends, this messenger was sent by God. The angel Gabriel was sent by God. When God sends somebody to speak to us, notice what I just said, God will send that person to speak to us. Sometimes it's through the message. You heard many of the guys are here today that surrendered to preach. Somebody was preaching the word of God, and God worked through that person to give them the message that God was calling them to preach or calling them to some certain work or service. But it will be God sent. And the Bible says that Gabriel came and he spoke to a virgin who was a spouse. Watch this now. That word a spouse means to be promised. She was promised to another. She was promised to a man by the name of Joseph. She's about to get married. And the Bible says the angel comes to her and then he gives her, secondly, the message. And the angel, verse 28, came in unto her and said, "Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women." The words "highly favored" means to make accepted or to grace. The messenger comes and says to Mary, "Mary, you've been graced." Not because you deserve anything. Because see, grace is an undeserved favor that God extends to us. And he says right here, "Mary, you have been graced by God." And then he goes on to say this. He says, you're blessed among women. And when she saw him, the Bible says she was troubled. She was troubled, the Bible says, disturbed at his saying, huh? And cast in her mind, made her think, What manner of salutation this should be? What kind of greeting is this? Has God ever spoken to your heart about something? You like, huh? What does this mean? What is that, you Lord? Or is that somebody else trying to and that the enemy trying to put these thoughts in my mind? What's going on here? I don't understand this. What's happening? And that's what Mary, look what the Bible says. She cast in her mind what manner of greeting, what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said to her, "Fear not. There's no need to be frightened. There's no need to be afraid, Mary." Let me say this. When God comes to us and taps us on the shoulder or begins to nudge us to do something specific for him, my friends, he also tells us, don't be afraid. Because oftentimes we are afraid. If God causes you to begin a new endeavor in your life, or perhaps a job change, or whatever the case might be, a lot of times there's fear that comes in and says, "What? Well, God, we find just like it is right now. What do you mean? Are you talking about the unknown? Something I've never heard of before? I don't know about this, Lord." But a lot of times fear creeps in. But then God tries to give us faith by saying, "Fear not. Don't be afraid." And notice what he goes on to say here. He says, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God." That word "found" here means to get or to obtain. You have gotten, you have obtained favor with God. You didn't work for it, but God's given you favor. God is giving you grace. God's about to give you something that you do not deserve, nor that you work for. Watch this. He goes on to say this. "And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. The Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end." Then said Mary unto the angel. He gives her the message. This is what was about to take place. This is what's going to happen. Now she's going to have to respond. And next thing we see is the mystery. She says in verse 34, how shall this be? "Seeing I know not a man." The word "know" here infers that to be intimate with. I've never known a man. I've never been intimate with a man. How in the world am I going to have a child? How am I going to be pregnant? And these are important verses, my dear friends, because oftentimes there's some that might try to say that Mary, had gotten pregnant by Joseph. Joseph was her husband. But the Bible is very clear. She was, by the way, she should know. Hello, somebody? Okay. She said, "I've not known a man. I've never been with anybody. What's going on here? This is a mystery." And sometimes when God comes to us, my dear friends, and says, "I'm about to do something in your life that you have never done before, something that you need an understanding of this." He's like, "What do you mean? Wait a minute. God, you want me to do what?" I'm going to use this for an example. "You want me to preach? Lord, I ain't never preached before. I mean, what are you talking about?" That's not the Lord. Most of the time, you try to shake it off. You know, nah. No. Not me. You know, My character is not one that's outward. My character. Now, I know some of y'all going, this is going to surprise some of y'all. But I'm a complex person. By nature, I'm more introverted. I know. I'm even coughing on that. But I am. I mean, when I was growing up and I was in church, I hardly said a word. When I was singing the choir, if a couple of my cousins weren't there in the choir in the tenor section singing, man, I was afraid to open my mouth. But now if they was there with us, oh man, I'm right with them. But when they weren't there, it was like no sound coming out. And then the choir director, I'm telling y'all, it was rough. I mean, the choir director, they get in your face. I'm just saying. And, come on, everybody stop. They'll do one person at a time. I mean, you'd be like, I will sing. My throat is all messed up. But, that's how, so when I was called to preach, when I surrendered to preach, they was like in shock. So he don't hardly say nothing. And then when I preached my first sermon there, I mean, they couldn't believe that my nickname is Vern. And they couldn't believe Vern preaching. What? This is amazing. But you know what? It's amazing how God, the Bible says he takes the foolish things to confound the wise, amen, and to confound the world. And I'm foolish too. But anyhow, the Bible says here, my friends, she says, this is a mystery. And then it tells her the method. Verse 35, and the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee. Watch it. And the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. He says, Mary, let me explain to you the method. The method is this. The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. The word overshadow means to cast a shadow upon. The Holy Spirit will be involved in this miracle that was about to take place on the inside of Mary. By the way, my dear friends, it's the Holy Spirit that helps us to perform whatever task or duty that God has called us to do. That's why it's so important not to lean on your own strength and your own power, but lean on that power that comes from heaven above and that indwells us. The Bible says, greater is he that is in us than he that's in the world. The Bible says, as a child of God, we are the temple of the Holy Spirit of God. He indwells us, and he's the one that empowers us. It's the Spirit of God. The fruit of the Spirit is the Spirit of God. All these things God does, my friends, to help us to accomplish the task that he has in store for our lives. Through the Bible says, he goes on to say this, and behold, let me tell you something else, Mary, and behold, thy cousin, Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. Watch it, y'all. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. Oh, don't you know your cousin, Elizabeth? She's past the age of childbearing. But yet here she is, and she's 6 months pregnant. That is the power of an awesome God. And we all know that the baby that she bore was John the Baptist. John the Baptist was the cousin of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was 6 months older than the Lord Jesus Christ. And later, and this is not part of our message, but you'll see when they begin to talk about it. Look at verse number 30, verse number 44. The Bible says this, for lo, as soon as thy voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. Listen, my dear friends, when Mary does go to Elizabeth and tells her about her being pregnant herself, then John the Baptist starts shouting on the inside. That's awesome. The boy was filled with the Holy Ghost before he got here. Oh, that'd mess somebody up. What are you talking about? The ones that want abortions to be performed. Remember what I'm saying? They said that life don't even start until after it even comes out the womb. For many of the types of abortion that they have is different types. If you take the baby's life on the inside of the mother's womb, I mean, it's like it's not alive, but it's amazing once the child comes out, if it's still alive, then it said, well, now it's the child. What? That's complex, ain't it? Because it ain't biblical. My dear friends, before, remember in Jeremiah, go to Jeremiah chapter number one. Hold your place here. We come back. Look at Jeremiah chapter number one. We'll be done in a few minutes. Look at Jeremiah chapter number one. The Bible says this. When God came to Jeremiah and told Jeremiah, I got a job for you, Jeremiah. Jeremiah was like, huh? Me? Watch what God says here in Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse number 5. Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 5. This verse has helped me so much. The Bible says this in Jeremiah 1 verse 5. He says, before, watch it, I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee and ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. He says, Jeremiah, before I even formed you in the belly, I knew you. Wow. That done messed them all up now. Listen, my dear friends, God knows you before you even get here, before he even forms you in the womb. God knows you. You are a person. That's a whole other message. But nonetheless, the Bible shows us, go back over to Luke. The Bible shows us this, verse 37, for with God, nothing shall be impossible. There is nothing that you and I cannot accomplish with the power of God in the midst. You name it, my dear friends, God is able to accomplish it. Now, what Satan wants to do, he wants fear to seep in. He wants us to doubt. He wants us to hesitate. And God says, hold on a minute, baby. I'll give you strength. I'll give you power. It is possible with Almighty God. When I look at a lot of our younger generation today, it's amazing how so many are filled with so many fears. I mean, fears. And to me, that fear, well, not to me, the Bible says it. God said, I've not given you the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. God said, that's what I've given you. So that fear seeps in. That ain't from God. If it ain't from God, then who is it from? Listen, my dear friends, God wants us to trust him. There are times we'll go places and do things for God. You might be shaking at the knees. But my dear friends, you keep on walking and God will help you to accomplish whatever it is that God wants you to accomplish. Oh, I don't know about y'all, but I want to get to the end of my life and look back and say, man, I wish I had did what I believe the Lord was nudging me to do. But now it's like so much time has gone by and I'm not physically able to do some of those things. Listen, my dear friends, let's go full throttle for the Lord Jesus Christ. When I look back at my pastor, Dr. Talbot Moore, man, listen, the man is 80, 88, something like that. He's almost 90. Still going strong. Still going forward for the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, that blows my mind. Since he was 14 years old, he has been preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. At the age of 18 years old, he was pastoring two churches. Can you imagine? And my friends, he's still going. He's got plans right now in his office on what he wants to accomplish for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now look at myself, sir. What you got planned? See, what we got to do today? He got planned down the future. Listen, my dear friends, if God burdens you, if God places something on you to do, do it. Trust him. But I don't know how. I don't know how. You ain't got to know how. That's up to him. God does all that. When I look back, my friends, and I look at how it's been 22 years since we came up here, 1995 we came up here, I had no idea what God was going to do. And this church here, you know, when we look at us numerically, we may say, man, we're a small congregation numerically. But it's amazing, my dear friends, the impact that God is using our church to do in this, not just in this city or in this state, but in this world. God is awesome. This church reaches thousands. Listen, I'm serious, thousands. Thousands, and it's all because of God. That lets us know, my friends, that means you don't have to have something big to accomplish a lot for the Lord Jesus Christ. All you need is a willing spirit, a willing heart, and a heart that trusts God every step of the way. Mary finds out. She's like, huh? He says to Mary, this is how it's going to happen, Mary. For with God, verse 37, nothing shall be impossible. And the last thing we see is Mary's submission. The Bible said in verse number 38, and Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord. Look what she says. I'm your handmaid. The word handmaid also means female slave or bond slave. I'm your servant. She says, behold, here I am, your handmaid. Be it unto me according to what? Thy word. And watch this. And the angel departed from her. She says right here, my friends, let it take place. Let it be according to your word. Based upon what you have said, let it happen. Let it happen. Now, we all know that Mary, no doubt, went through a lot. What do you mean? Listen, sometimes when we look at the biblical characters, sometimes we look at them like a movie setting. But they were real people. Breathing just like you and I. Can you imagine when that child was born and when she faced a lot of ridicule and people, no doubt, accusing her? And they even said in the scriptures, they called Jesus a lot of different names, okay, in the scriptures. So no doubt these things came to her. Now, she's pregnant. And her and Joseph ain't even married yet. They engaged. What's up with this? Look at this. When Jesus is actually beaten. Now remember, this is her son. He's on the cross. His flesh is torn from his body. Mary, as a mother, seeing this happening to her son. No doubt, my dear friends, these things hurt her heart. Because any mother to see her child go through anything difficult, my dear friends, it's going to hurt their heart. But my dear friends, can you imagine even if they took him off the cross and her even have to hold the body of her son? All these things, no doubt, that she went through. But then, when he rose from the grave, she was there to witness that too. Oh, by the way, she was in the upper room when they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. What are you saying, preacher? She went through a lot of stuff, seen a lot of stuff. But it's amazing, my friends, when you and I fall and do exactly what God would have us to do. We'll go through a lot of different battles, but we get victories after victories after victories. Let me ask you, what does he ask you to do? No. I'm not, right now, I'm not even talking about service. I'm just talking about something. Whether it's some person that he said, I want you to go talk to so-and-so. You know how they feel about me. Yeah, but I want you to go talk to him. But what if he asked you what if? He said, go talk to him. Well, I tell you what, if they respond one way, I know how I'm going to respond, and we'll get forgiveness later. No, don't do that. What is he saying? We know that this is Christmas time of the year. And we have family, we have friends. But let's all be honest. We got family and friends that we got problems with. We got family and friends that got problems with us. But you know what? Don't seek to avoid them, especially when the Lord is prompting you to help them, encourage them, say something. You may be amazed at what takes place. Maybe, I don't know. Maybe you didn't say, I'm sorry. I didn't. Hold on. Slow down. Maybe you didn't do anything. Maybe they think you did something. So I'm sorry. Don't say it like, I'm sorry for whatever you think I did. Come on. Maybe say, listen, I'm sorry. If I've hurt you, if I've offended you in any way, I probably know, but I'm sorry though. Because man, we're family. We're blood. We're friends. We've been friends for a long time. Listen, this is not, I just want things to be right, The point is, this is the key. Let the Spirit of God guide your words. Because sometimes what God will do is he'll say, don't say that. You said, no, this needs to be said. He may say, don't say this. I want you to say this. Just say what he wants you to say. And all this is by faith. You're trusting him every step. There's been times I've talked to people, and I'm like, okay, I'm going to tell them this. And I'll get there, and I don't say any of that. And I'll leave there. I'll be like, oh, man, I meant to say this. And God said, didn't you pray and ask me to guide you? I said, well, yeah, but I think I forgot that you said exactly what I want you to say. And it's all by faith. I got two questions. We're done. The first question is this. Did you know that God wants to use your life? Did you know that God wants to use your life? Well, preacher, you don't know my background. Oh, come on, baby. Let me tell you about Apostle Paul. When his name was Saul, he got a background. We've all got a background. But God still wants to use your life. The second question is this, and this is a key one. This one is depending on us. Will we surrender to his will? Will we surrender to his will? Now, that might sound simple in wording, but that is faith. That's trusting God in faith. When you say, Lord, my life is, I'm surrendering to your will. That means, what do you want me to do? Not what I want. What do you want me to do? That means you're trusting him that he's going to guide you every step of the way. And what he has is always good. I'm thinking about the job over there. You know, you talked about that job. I said, man, that'd probably be perfect for you. That wasn't the job for her. And God had the other job, and then it paid more. Wow. Don't that sound like him? That sounds just like him. Billy said, we need 150 boxes. He was worried. Yeah, he was worried. He was like, man, well, I'm going to have enough stuff. Then it was just overflowing. We had stuff. We had already boxed up 150. And that stuff all down the hallways, all in the classrooms, all on the shelves. And so, all right, we're going to have to make a second box. That was some folks who will get boxes, they'll see the number 2 on that. That's the second box. What are you saying, preacher? We're talking about a God, my dear friends, that wants to use us. It doesn't matter how young you are, how old you are, what your background is. God wants to use you. Ain't nothing like ending this life like Paul did. He says, you know what? I finished my course. I kept the faith. I finished my course. Let's finish well. Father, thank you for your many blessings. And I pray, God, that just simply reading through this scripture of how Mary was spoken to by the angel, how she was used mightily by you. I pray, God, that we'd all realize that you want to use all of us. All of us. All of us has it. You have a task, a job, an assignment for each of us. But sometimes it starts with those little small assignments. When we do those little small things that might seem insignificant, but they might be really huge. Father, I pray, God, you help us. Give us strength. And Lord, if we need to talk to you tonight about whatever it is, I pray, God, we come with confidence, not in self, but in the Savior, through the power of the Holy Spirit. For it's in your Son's name we pray, Father, Jesus. Amen.